Welcome to another message from Citizen Heights. We are located in the nation's capital where our heart is to inspire hope, remove limitations, and help you experience God's possible for your life. Join Pastors Michael and Heather Jarreau in their passion to help you live out your best life. We hope you enjoyed today's encouraging and uplifting message.
Then There Was a Sound is going to be our topic for the next 3 weeks, but more than just a topic for 3 weeks, Then There Was a Sound is something I feel prophetically for our church. Will you give me maybe, I don't know, they're giving me 19 minutes on the clock. Can we do this together right now? I want to read to you out of Ezekiel 37 to lay a framework, and I want us to come together on this because I believe that God is saying something. The phrase, then there was a sound, we see repeated in the Bible at key moments where God is going to give vision in the midst of, he's going to allow us to see what he sees. And so are you here? Are you ready? Can we do this? Look at this. Ezekiel 37 says, and he led me around among them. Oh, let me give you context. This is the vision of the valley of dry bones. So even if you have your Bible, it might even say that as your heading, the vision of the valley of dry bones. And God is giving you a vision today. Are you ready for it? God is giving us a vision today. And there's a sound that triggers it. And Ezekiel's in this moment where he's been taken up by God and God is giving him a vision. And the vision's not what he anticipated. It's a valley of dry bones. And it says in verse 2, and he led me around among them. And behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley bones. And behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. I'm not even going to guess anymore. God, this is in your hands. I thought I knew what my vision should be. I thought I knew what would work out. I thought I knew which way I would go. But God, this is yours. Verse 4, then he said, no, it's yours, Ezekiel. He said, prophesy over these bones. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a sound. And behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. And verse 8, I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Verse 9, so he said to me, prophesy to the breath. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and they stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Can you say amen? There was a sound. There was a sound. See, God invites us in moments to not just dream for ourselves, but to capture and hear his dream for us. And a vision. Ezekiel in chapter 37, he tells us this story. And God comes to give Ezekiel a vision. And if you just read, it's a vision in a valley of dry, dead bones. And I read that, and I thought, did I read that right? Have you ever wanted vision for your life, and then you feel like, why am I here? I thought I had vision for my life, and this seems void of what God wants, and is this really what God wants? But then I read Matthew 3:16. This says that Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River by John the Baptist, and as he's baptized, it says he comes up out of the water, and the heavens part, and the word of the voice of God is heard, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And then it says the Holy Spirit descended on Jesus like a dove and carried him out, not high, but low, to the wilderness. Is it possible that God would lead me to a dry place? Is it possible that God would bring me to a valley of brokenness? Is it possible after flying so high and the heavens opening so wide and God confirming so loud that now I find myself in an in-between moment of, where am I? How'd I get here? I mean, really, for Ezekiel, is it possible that a God who is life itself, it was his will to bring me to the very depth of death itself. This is where Ezekiel finds himself, in the valley of dead and dry bones. And these bones have been dry. And it doesn't just say dry, it says very dry. Come on, I like it when the Bible says very dry bones. Like, they're not just bones. Wouldn't that be enough? And they're not just dry bones. That we would not hold out hope any longer, right? We see bones, we go dead. We see dry bones, we go, okay, really dead. Like I wasn't going to try to believe before. And that, no, very dry bones. How is it that this is part of God's vision for me? How is it part of God's vision for me to bring me to a valley? You might say, well, how is this part of Vision Day? You're going to find out here in a minute. Because we find vision in the valley. But we ask questions and we lose our perspective. Like how can I be loved by God and be surrounded by all this death and all these bones? How can I be anointed by God and be in the valley? How can I be so holy one moment? Let's not even talk about, because when we talk about the valley, a lot of times we're just talking about like circumstances, like, oh, everything around me is just dry and I'm full of life, but it's dry. But let's be honest. Some of our dry bones are inside of us, not a situation or circumstance around us. Some of us has dried up a while ago and there's a dryness to our soul. And you think to yourself, how can I be so holy one moment, but so human the next? Like, because I know God will use me, right? Sure, I come to church and I pray and I prayed for other people and they've been blessed. I prayed for one guy out of 1,000. He got healed. I led a citizen group. I come to church and I shout and I dance and I worship. And then on the way home from that very same worship service, somebody cuts me off. And the very same person over there is now, some of you are looking like you don't know what I'm talking about at all. The first experience was very honest about this moment. They said, yes, it's true. I'm the guy who is like, yes, Jesus. And like, hey, you're number one in traffic, but you're not saying they're number one. You're saying something else. The very same person. Don't act like you don't know. And if you won't admit it, I will admit it. I am a person who I drive on. I'm on the ragged edge of a graceless road rage incident at any moment on the road. That's just when I'm driving, I'm just on the edge. And usually when somebody cuts me off, I don't know why. They have a Maryland license plate. I don't know why. I think God's just provoking me to pray for Maryland. I know it's none of you. It's just other people. And I know when you get cut off, it's probably a Virginia driver. And then, what am I talking about? Oh, yeah, the humanity, right? We just forget. We just forget for a moment who we are. You know, and I'm the same way. I'll just be in that moment. Somebody will cut me off, and I'm filled with rage, and I lose my mind, and I get upset, and I forget that I'm called by God and anointed by God and commissioned to be a pastor at Citizen Heights. I forget all of that, you know, and I want to minister to them. I want to lay hands on them, you know. I'm saying things to people that can't hear me. I'm auditioning for the live movie track of their world, and they don't even know. And I'm saying things in my car because I want to live. And when you cut me off, and it's dangerous, you know, I don't have a baby on board sticker. But I there's no babies on board, but I still want to live, right? Like, I want the babies to live, but I want myself to live too. So when that happens, I'm shaking my fist. I'm disgusted. You know, I've lost consciousness. I don't remember memory verses. I don't remember what I preached last week. I don't care about Vision Day. Come on, you ever been there? In the valley between the human and the holy. In the valley between the forgiven and the fallen. And you find out that all of these dry bones, they cohabitate in the same person together. And you're like, if you get in those seasons where it's dry. And when God took you so high before and now you find yourself so low, you start asking your question, is God with me in the bones? Are you with me? The same way you were with me up there, are you with me down here? Are you with me the same way in the valley of a dry job? Are you with me over here in the valley of a dry marriage? Come on, God, are you with me in the valley of seasons with no explanations? God, are you with me in the valley of tough finances? Or difficult health diagnosis, God, are you here with me? You know, 7 days from now, we'll do Heart for the House, and we'll talk about it for 2 or 3 weeks, and then we'll just give throughout the year. We'll watch God do great things. But, you know, I know those testimonies. I live those testimonies where the pastor said, to give sacrificially, and God will provide supernaturally. So I gave, and I shouted, and I made a joyful noise, and I went home, and 2 weeks later, I got fired. And then you're like, God, what happened? You wanted to show me this? I could get here on my own, right? But God's taken you to a place you never could get on your own. Is he a God who will walk with me through the valleys, through the bones? I want to talk to you today if you're walking through bones. I want to talk to you today if you've lost your vision. I want to talk to you today if you're in a season that you can't explain. I want to talk to you today if you're in a very dry place, because we don't talk about it enough in church, but there it's possible to dance all over church on Sunday and barely be able to get out of bed on Monday because there's something sitting on your chest and you've just been dealing with it for so long. You know, the Bible says that God walked Ezekiel to and fro. I love the King James version. It says, God walked Ezekiel to and fro throughout the bones. Like I don't need to and fro. Like, I just put me on the edge of the valley. I can look down and see the bones. I don't need to get up close with him. And once I'm up close, I certainly don't need to go to and fro. I don't need to become acquainted with these bones. But when you're walking through things, you think, is God here? You know, the doctor still said he doesn't know what's wrong with me. My kids still won't talk to me. You know? Come on, some of you are out there watching that video, and you get to the 464 number, which is always my favorite number every year, of how many people said yes to Jesus, that we made a way for God to touch their lives. And some of you are looking at that joyful moment and get almost angry about it. 464, you tell me 464 people got saved and not one of them was the one that I wanted? Not one of them was the one that I wanted to marry? How can we get 464 new applicants and still... It's funny because you think nobody has this problem. Well, we all have stuff. We all have struggles. We all have issues. We all have stuff going. We got irritations and aggravations and frustrations. We all have it going on. But what happens is, after a while of to and fro between the bones, I learned to live with my bones. And I just accept my bones. I acquiesce. These are my bones. It's dry. It's very dry. It's dead. It's without life. And in that moment, we develop a pathology and a theology to accommodate our bones. We develop coping mechanisms to accommodate our bones. We self-medicate to accommodate our bones. We begin to release and adopt ungodly thinking and thought processes about our identity and who we are at the core of who we are, to accommodate our bones. In time, it just becomes natural for me to walk among the bones. I have accepted the bones. I'm accustomed to them. And then it says that Ezekiel is asked by God, can these bones live again? I want to talk to you about vision. Not the vision that you get on a mountaintop, but the kind of vision that only comes in the valley. A kind of vision that's bigger than yourself. A vision that is beyond what you can see. A vision that's God-sized. And he picks you up, and you find vision in the most unexpected place, in the middle of the valley. But Ezekiel is in that human moment, and we all get there, don't we? We live in that human moment where I don't want to be in this valley. So I must, either I'm going to impugn God's character, or I'm going to blame the church or pastor, or, whew, that happens more than you think. Somebody said something to me recently. I said, well, our sheep are generally nice, but they do bite occasionally. But that's all right. I don't mind a few bite marks, because I'm sure that God is, we're equally yoked in this thing, right? Patience for every one of us, right? But can these bones live again? Thank God for the voice of God, for the vision of God in the valley of God's choosing. See, this isn't just the valley of dry bones. This is a vision God, this is a valley God brought me to. So I'd rather be in the valley God brought me to than the mountaintop I took myself, because I know in the valley God brought me to, there's going to be a grace and a strength and an anointing to do exceedingly abundantly, all just beyond what I could have thought and imagined and done for myself. But in the moment, you're human. In the moment, I can imagine, you know, those moments that we have where, are you going to ask me this now? Like, I got used to these bones. I've accepted these bones. Some of these bones have become my identity, my new identity, not my identity in Christ, but my identity in the valley. And I didn't know it was a season. I didn't know this was your valley, God. I just thought this was my valley. I thought this was the valley I was going to live in, not just a journey to get something in. And so I've given up hope. Why would you disturb my peace now, God? Why would you come for me? And it's not a peace that God gives, but it's a peace that comes in giving up. It's a peace that comes in surrendering. It's a peace that comes in just saying, I guess these are my bones. I just got these bones. I'm just going to be imbalanced emotionally my whole life. I guess those are my bones. I guess I'm just going to hate my marriage all my life. These are my bones. I guess I'm just going to be single my whole life because these are my bones. I guess I'm going to lose to addiction because these are my bones. And now God has the audacity to ask, can these bones live? And we think, well, God, only you know, like, I'm done believing for this. Where were you when I was believing for that job? Where were you when I was believing for that man or for that woman? Where were you when I was believing for my son and my daughter? Where were you when I was believing for that sick brother? Where were you? But there's a sound in the valley. There's a sound in the valley. And Ezekiel's living it, and he doesn't even realize it. That although he's seeing dry bones, and he's seeing death, and he's seeing a valley, he's walking with the creator and giver of life. And he's just not walking in silence. There's a sound in the valley. It's the sound of the voice of his God and Father. And he's talking to him, and he's drawing out of him, and he's asking the disturbing, unnerving, uncomfortable questions that bring things to the surface, that makes him struggle and makes him deal with it. But in the midst of the valley, you can just hear God saying, Ezekiel, in a minute you're going to hear a sound. And the sound will be rumbling and rattling and supernatural assembling and bones coming together and four winds blowing and breath in the yaw of God breathing life and then arising and awakening and assembling. You'll hear all that sound in a minute. But right now, Ezekiel, you need to find that one sound. I brought you to this valley to silence everything else, so that you get to the one sound that matters. John 10 says, my sheep hear my voice. They know it. What? God is talking. God is talking. Moses says, I want to hear the voice of God, but it wasn't in the earthquake, and I want to hear the voice of God. It wasn't in the trembling and the rumbling or the fire, but it was in a still small voice. And the sound of earth, of the world around you, and the sound of job, and the sound of pursuit for finances and money and power and people and all those things echoes in our ears. And we find ourselves, if we're not careful, waking up a decade later, 5 years later, 20 years later, and you have to ask yourself, what was my vision? What was I living for? What is the epitaph that'll be on my gravestone someday? That I made manager before anybody else in my company? That I logged in 40 or 50 years, like, is that the eternal reality and purpose that God has for my life? It's so much more. Now, it's going to be for me, but it's going to make room for others. And there's others in the valley, and they look like bones, and they don't just look like regular bones. They look like dry bones, and they don't just look like dry bones. Sometimes they look very dry. So if I'm to come to life and be in a position to prophesy, I got to receive the life of God in me. And that means I got to know the voice of my Father. Psalm 23 says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, it's a valley I didn't choose, but it's a valley God brought me to, I'm not going to fear any evil. Why? Because God is still with me. There's a voice in this valley. It doesn't have to be my voice. It doesn't have to be the voice of my natural father or my husband or my wife. It's the voice of God saying, whoo, you got some dry bones. Yeah, I see them, God. They're all here. No. We'll get to those bones in a minute. Let's work with your dry bones. Let's get to your heart. Let's revive you. Come on, God hasn't left you in the valley. God hasn't abandoned you in the valley. God is exchanging your whatever is in front of me vision to his unlimited vision. He's exchanging your it's just about me vision to God's it's all about the world vision. And you lift your eyes and you find joy and strength. Come on, there's a voice in your valley. There's a voice in your valley today. There's a voice in your valley. There's a voice that says you're not forgotten. There's a voice in the valley that says you're not abandoned. There's a voice in the valley that says that you're not disqualified. There's a voice in the valley that says you measure up in Jesus and you measure up just fine. Go ahead, prophesy life. Go ahead, speak life. There's a sound. Amen. I'm going to pray for you as we wrap this up. I told you I could get it done quick. I was right on the clock. There's a sound. Amen. I'm excited about what God's going to do in your life in 2020. I'm excited what he's going to do in our church in 2020. After 21 days of prayer and fasting, we've received reports. I got reports this week. One person had a physical healing. Another person had a parenting miracle. Another person had a five-figure miracle. Anybody want to say amen and grab a little bit of one? Whichever one you want. Somebody had a six-figure miracle. And I said, you know what? We're going to be okay in the valley. We're going to be all right because God is with us. So the question today is, will you let him take you to the valley of hearing his vision for your life? Will you let him take you to the valley of serving others? Every eye closed. We'll conclude with that right now. Every eye closed, no moving about for distraction, just for a moment. In a moment, we'll all head downstairs. We'll eat empanadas and hang out and have a good time. And tonight we'll watch the Super Bowl. But life right now, in this moment, is so precious. Just a week ago, a superstar, someone who touched sports and culture and everything that we know, was tragically lost in a helicopter crash with 9 other people. And you see that and you're reminded, life is short. Life is fragile. I've got no guarantees. I want to make it count. So I want to pray for you today. If you need to respond to this message, you're just, I'm in the valley and I need vision. I'm in the valley and I need hope. I'm in the valley and I just need someone to know I'm in the valley. If that's you, just lift your hand right now. Father, you see all these hands and you see all these hearts, God, that need you to touch them in the midst of the in-between, of the holy and the human, the frail and forgiven, and then the fallen. Father, we thank you that you meet us in the valley, that you have purpose in the valley, that you see the end from the beginning and the beginning from the end. And God, we can't always appreciate it. We can't hardly ever comprehend it. But God, we can surrender to it and submit to it and say, God, you be God. If you spoke and light became, and you spoke a word and life breathed its first breath, then you can take me on a journey through even this valley and bring vision to my life. In Jesus' name, with every eye closed, one last group of people I'm going to pray for is there's a sound of the shepherd's voice calling you closer. That's the voice of God. And there's something inside you that says, man, I want this. I don't know where I stand with God. I want this kind of vision, and I want some of the things that you're saying resonate, but I don't know where I stand. It's not where you stand. It's where your Father in heaven stands. And the Bible says that he stands at the door of your heart, and he knocks. And he asks, open my son, open my daughter. Let me come into your life. Let me begin to give you vision. Let me begin to realign your life and reprioritize your life. You might not have it all figured out, but you know enough to know you need God in your life. The Bible says we all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory, but that the gift of God was life in Jesus, because Jesus came perfectly God, perfectly human. He lived a life of 33 years on planet Earth perfectly, never making a mistake, and then surrendered his life to be crucified, not for what he had done, but as a substitution for what you and I have done. That's why Jesus died, to take the penalty that we couldn't pay, because he lived the perfect life we could never live, so he could offer salvation we could never earn. That's the gospel. God loves you right where you are, but he loves you too much to leave you where you are. So on the count of three, I'm going to invite you to lift your hand. And by lifting your hand, you're not joining a church. And I'll give you just confidence to know that I'm not going to trick you into standing up. I'm not going to try to bring you front and forward. But there's something supernatural and personal going on in your life. But at the same time, I'm going to ask you to lift your hand as I count to three, because I think there's something supernatural that happens when there's an outward response to an inward decision to say, Jesus, I surrender. Jesus, you're my answer. Jesus, it's all because of you. Are you ready? One, don't wait. Today is your day. Two, I'm going to pray a general prayer over us, and we'll dismiss in a minute. But this, a few hands are already going up all across the room. One, two, three, hands up. Say, that's for me. That's for me. Man, all over. Just keep them up for a minute. That's for me. That's for me. And it might not be the first time. It might be a recommitment moment, because you don't know how you got to where you are. But you need God to come in and make everything new all over the church. Thank you. Thank you. Put your hands down. Maybe you didn't feel comfortable raising your hands, but you're going to pray this prayer with us because you know this is where you're at. Dear Jesus, I give you my life because you first gave me yours. I love you, Jesus, because you first loved me. So I surrender my life. I give you my past, give you my present, I give you my future. It's yours, God. Now say this boldly. I am a Christian. By grace I've been saved. I didn't earn this. I received it as a gift from God. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, can we rejoice with those who just prayed that prayer?